Welcome to Playful Joy, a parenting podcast without the guilt. Today I'm here with Cara Coleman, and she is the person with the ingenuity to dream up the place that is now Parallel Yoga, the wonderful space that we're in right now. She has three children. They are 8, 13, and 16. And I just took a class with Cara, and it was wonderful. Yeah, flow to slow. Parallel Yoga has this feel, I think, when I first walked in, just it's a safe place. It's a welcoming place. Just after class, you were talking to a bunch of students, you know, It's a place you can share. And I really admire that because that's kind of my goal with this podcast is a place where, like a village where there's no shame, there's no blame, just this message of like, we hear you, we've been there, maybe here's a glass of wine.
Yeah. There's a liquor store 2 doors down.
Yeah. Just a place where you can come and laugh and share. And I just wanted to ask you, how did Parallel Yoga come to be?
So my youngest was 6 months old. And I had just started taking up yoga again. The first time I ever did it was I was pregnant with my first, who's now 16. And for me, yoga was that space to connect to other people that were going through the same stuff that I was, because I'm just like, I was a young mom for the time that it was. I was 25 when I had her, which isn't really all that young, but in
it's pretty young,
right?
Yeah, I was 23. Yes. I was 25 too.
Yeah, right. So then I found a practice that I really liked, but it wasn't in Abbotsford. It was when my son was 6 months old. So I was traveling to other places in the Fraser Valley, and my husband was just like, you know, not that I can't handle three kids, but like, you're gone a long time. And so I said, and I was going to go back to work, and I was going to go back to work early. But I really wasn't happy doing what I was doing. It wasn't my intention. So I have a degree in history and in English. I had applied to go into teaching. I had been, I didn't get in my first time to PDP. And then after that, I did get in, but my student loan application was declined. So then it was like super frustrating. I mean, we're going back quite a few years. And so then I started working full time at a bank. And then I just kind of took off from there. And then I started having babies and I just never looked back. Right. Yeah. Life happened. Yes. And it was good. Like it was a good career for me to have with children. But after my third mat leave, I was just like, I don't think I can keep doing this. So I was already humming and hawing about going back, but then I was finding that but my yoga practice was really allowing me to connect back to my body and going into all that. And so with my husband, he's just like, you know, what are you doing? Like, you're going to Langley and you're going to Mission and you're going to all these places. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, there's not really anywhere that I can practice here that is a style that I like. And he goes, well, why don't we just do something? Let's open a studio. And it was like within a week of that conversation, we were looking at space. It was that impulsive. Wow. Like we were looking at spaces. So from the time the idea happened to the time we opened was 9 months. Like it was like having another baby.
That's amazing.
Yes. And so my youngest would have been, I think he was 16 months when we opened. Mm-hmm. So I had like a 16-month-old and then a 5-year-old. And I was like, this is a lot. And so we opened the space. And my intention actually was never to teach. I was just going manage. I was just going to manage the space.
Okay.
I hired 4 teachers and I was just going to be the background person that got to do yoga for free. I'm like, dope, this is amazing.
everyone's dream.
Right? So then I thought, you know, I should probably get my teaching certification just in case. Like, what if someone calls in sick? I only had 4 people at the time. So what if someone calls in sick and, you know, someone's got to step in? So then I did my very first certification was online and it was just enough to, you know, be certified and get my insurance. Okay. And then I got other trainings over the course of the year, over the years. And so then I taught my first class, like a week after I got my official certificate, my insurance and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Wow.
So then it came to that. So that's how it came to be. And it was just really more, you know, we kept trying to think of like, who is our target market? And like me, I'm the target market. This is me. I'm a mom and I'm busy. And I just need to take a second to unwind and relax. And then that target kind of is always been there, but it's just changed, right? Yeah, so
it grows.
Yeah, and it grows and it, yeah.
Well, I think you knocked it out of the park in terms of
thank you.
A place, do you know what I mean? And a feeling and a community.
Sure.
Things like that. And the teachers really reflect that.
Yeah,
it's a,
totally.
It's a welcoming place.
I love that you say that too, because our tagline is safe, authentic home.
Hmm.
It's right.
Wow.
And so then
exactly
what you described and you didn't even know that.
No, so. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really great. Mm-hmm. That's really great. So my children are 7 and 3, mm-hmm. I have a daughter and then a son. So they're younger and I think a lot of us live in this place of when they sleep through the night, when they start walking,
totally.
when. And it'll get less busy. I'll feel less exhausted and I'll, because I think in the beginning, I really always say this, you're just trying to stop them from killing themselves.
And yes. Oh, absolutely. I've said that.
If you can do that, you're good. And it's kind of like, I feel like five is this, they go to school, you know, five is this kind of goal. They can put on their own shoes. So I always think, it's a little less relentless. Parenting's a little less constant, just, I don't know, watching them all the time, right? Like my daughter will go upstairs to her room and be by herself for a minute.
Totally.
And then I always think, it'll get less busy as they get older. But then I just wanted to ask you, is that true or is it just less busy? Because I have other friends who say, then they're in sports, then they're in this, then you're just kind of taking them place. It's just a different kind of role.
It's a different kind of role. I have three kids in very different stages of their lives, mm-hmm. right? So, and the 8-year-old is a very young 8 too, okay. because he's the youngest.
Right.
And he basically has two moms. Like he's got a sister that's 8 years older.
Yeah.
So she's always she's always taken on that kind of motherly role. And I do rely on her a lot. She was like my full-time nanny one summer. Cause I'm just like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to work and do all this stuff?
Yeah.
But you're right. Like the first 5 years of their life, you're just responsible for keeping them alive. Right.
Yeah.
It is a different thing. It's more emotional now. Mm-hmm. Like I know that I also have to parent my children very differently. I love them all equally,
right.
but I have to parent them differently.
That's a big shift.
Yes.
I think, I don't want to say of our generation, maybe it's not, but I think it is. I mean, I know my grandma, speaking of Easter, mm-hmm. she would make us all little Easter baskets.
Yes.
And she would kill herself to make sure that she spent
the same
equal
thing.
Amount on everyone. Not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah.
But
totally.
So Corey liked baseball, so my brother. So then she would bought him a baseball. And then so she had to go buy everyone else something that cost the same as
the
baseball.
Same amount. I know.
So that's like this equal. There was this idea of it needs to be equal kind of parenting.
Totally.
And I love that you say that because I don't think.
No.
I always say to my students, equal. Fair doesn't mean equal.
Yeah.
Fair means everyone gets what they need.
Yes. Totally.
So and so needs a wiggle seat,
they
get a wiggle bottom. It's a thing you sit on, it's blown up and you feel around in case people don't know what the kids do at school.
So we have that's funny that you said that we have a rule. I'm very involved in baseball and we have a rule on our team because it's a high performance team and it's just like equal play and fair play are not the same thing.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. With my kids, I have and it's kind of shifted a little bit, but you know, like with my daughter, I get all of the information in the car. So she gives me all the stuff. It's a 5-minute car ride. She just needs to like tell me all the things and then we're good. Oh. And then the middle one let's go with the little one. The little one just kind of needs to be beside me. He's just like, he just wants to know that I'm around.
Mm-hmm.
The middle one needs like 3 hours of my undivided attention.
Wow.
Otherwise I don't love him. You know what I mean? I'm exaggerating, but that's how it is. It's just like they just need to know that I'm around. I went away for a weekend with my girlfriend not that long ago. And I forgot to tell them. And I'm like, okay, bye guys. I'll see you on Sunday. They're like, wait, what? They're like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm literally gone for 2 nights. You'll be fine. They're like, yeah, but Dad's different. And I'm like, but you're never like these two go off here. Like she has a social life. The other one just hides and plays Fortnite. And the other one is in his own spell Fortnite.
Yeah. Oh, it's so
and that's
funny.
New. But so it's just, it is just a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I think the busy of their lives right now, you choose your involvement with your children.
Mm.
That's really what it comes down to. And so I'm busy because I'm involved.
Right.
I don't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff that I do that I don't want to do, but I also, I'm very committed to making sure that my daughter is always safe, that, you know, she's as part of her social life, that I like to know where she is. I like to know how she's getting to places. I like to know. So then I'm involved.
Right.
My middle son is very involved with baseball. So it's high level. And so I manage the team so I can just be a part of it. My husband's the head coach. And so we're really quite involved in that. Mm-hmm. My little one also plays, but he also bat boys for this, you know, but he's also in that really deep phase of learning. He's in grade three. And so then I want to know, okay, are you reading? Are you doing this? Or who are you playing with? And we're in a new school this year. So I don't know a lot of the parents that are around. And so it's busy because I'm involved. You can, and you choose it.
Yeah. I like that way of thinking about it, that perception of sort of, it sounds like I'm busy because I choose to be. Like I want to be involved.
Totally.
And I'm the same. And my husband's a little less that way. Right. I think like totally. My daughter got invited to a sleepover and I'm like you, like I want her to be safe and I want her to feel safe.
Totally.
I mean, not more than being safe, but that's a big one.
Yeah.
And so she asked to sleep over, but she's had major separation anxiety. So I knew it wasn't a good choice for her.
Yeah.
And I want her to make choices, you know,
if you're
asking for separation. Okay. I'm going to give it to you.
But
I'm picking you up at 8:30 because I haven't met these parents.
Yeah.
You know, you're not that great of friends with the girl you got invited to. Like I've taught her, I know her because I'm at the school.
Yeah, but,
and yeah, I like that. I like that.
Totally.
You're as busy as you want to be.
And you are. And I don't necessarily wear it like a badge of honor, right? Like I just like there are sometimes when I know that I need to take a knee, I can feel it. I can feel like there's just like, okay, there's too much going on.
Right.
I just need a second.
Yeah.
And then, and I do pick and choose. Like there's certain things, like I don't do all the field trips and I don't do all the little things, but extracurricular stuff, I'm there. Mm-hmm. But the teenage years have been, they've really kicked my behind. Really, I'm struggling. And I have really good kids. I recognize that I have really good kids.
Right.
But hormones are things that I can't control. Like we're all trying to go through this together and we're all trying to figure this out. And you know, my middle is very angsty. He's 13 and he's just like, it's rough. He's just grumpy.
Do you think the like 12, 13 kind of parallels the toddler? Because when you said that, I was thinking of my 3-year-old. Like, he's like, everything's just like,
yes.
The anger is right there.
Totally. Like, but he can't articulate himself properly.
Right.
And so, and with a 13-year-old, he can. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting him down one time and I just said, you know what? Like, I'm going to try really hard to not be angry with you in the times that you're really angry with me. Mm-hmm. I know that you can't control it. Like, I know that you're in this place right now where your brain is still developing and you've got an adult sized brain and you're still the size of a child. So like there's
a
lot of learning and you're trying to figure out like you're going through a growth spurt. Mm-hmm. You're like, there's these emotional things that come up and they're not always appropriate responses, but just understand that that's not you. And I recognize that that's not you.
I love that. I always used to say, I love you, but I don't like your behavior right now.
Yeah.
Or I don't agree with the choice that you're making at the moment. Right.
Yeah. I might not say it so eloquently,
but I don't like,
but yes,
I love you, but I don't like that you hit your sister. And now I've done this thing at school and with my children that I really love. And, an adult, like a parent was like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
We label it their angry monster. And maybe that's a little juvenile for a 13-year-old.
Sure, yeah.
But Caden named his Pluto. And we like talk about it like it's a different person.
Yeah.
And it just like separates him, like the him we love and the him we know and the him that is the true him. And the him he's being when he can't control himself and he really can't articulate what he's feeling.
Right.
He doesn't know why he's angry because that's something we don't always recognize. Like, you know, 13-year-olds don't know why they feel so angsty.
Yeah,
they don't really, they aren't really able to tell us why they're mad.
Yeah.
And I know to just be there is really, really hard for me.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Try to help them calm down.
Right.
Still like,
okay. Yeah. And there's sometimes, and my son, when he was younger, he's a very empathetic person.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to always have to ask him, is this yours? Or are you feeling something else that somebody else is going through? And he'd be like, yeah, no, I don't think this is mine.
Hmm.
Right. So that was at, you know, like 7, 8, 9 years old. It's kind of gone away now, but I remember that specifically. Like he would just kind of really feel what everybody else was feeling or feel something even that I'm feeling. But even now, he's just like, how was your day? He's like, I can always tell. He says to me the other day, he said, I can always tell about the day you've had by the way you breathe after you pick us up. Because sometimes, sometimes I'll pick them up and I'll go, ah. And like, now they're here. And he's like, oh, you had a good day. Wow. And sometimes I'll go, whew. And he's like, oh, was it a busy day today? Yeah, like he's very observant.
Yeah, I feel like my son's the same because he said to me yesterday, are you mad? And I wasn't feeling mad in that moment. Yeah. But I was feeling like overwhelmed. I hadn't taken time for myself in like a week. I was getting to the point of like, totally. I'm overwhelmed and overdone. And just, I need a moment like that.
Yeah, totally.
And so he said that and I thought, oh, like, yeah, I'm, you know, they're feeling it. Totally. Right. So it transfers when you're in that space.
Yeah.
They feel it. So that's so great that you notice that. And you could say, is this yours? Or are you feeling this for someone else?
Totally.
Because I bet that was so helpful.
Yeah, it was. I think it was.
Nice.
But yeah, like, but having three kids and just three different, like, I really have to take a second.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And sometimes like, I, and this is coming up later, but that's kind of what the yoga philosophies and stuff, like just even teaching it. I'm just like, okay, like take a step back and observe this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, you know, like, I mean, there's information that my daughter gives me that I don't necessarily want to hear,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that she tells me everything is really great. And then, so I don't want to lose that.
Right.
So my thing is I just don't react and I take it in and then I'll just, okay, this is what's going on. This is what's going on in your life. I don't love this, but I recognize when I don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll maybe talk about it later, but I'll just, or I'll find out like, okay, well, what are you doing about this then? How are you reacting and how is this going for you?
Mm-hmm.
When she's unhappy with me, she's a writer. So she will write me a text and just say, I don't like that this happened. And I love that she feels safe enough to tell me when she thinks that I've done something wrong.
Right. Yeah. That's so great. My daughter was complaining that my husband made her eat something that she didn't want to eat. And she's a picky eater. So and I said, oh, well, I talked about a time when my dad did that to me and how I wasn't allowed to, I mean, I'm sure I complained, but I feel like we're moving to a space of, we're more accepting of our children's, to telling us when we do something that they don't like.
Like that would never have happened when I was a child.
Not as much with me either. And so I told her that. I said, well, you know what? You're really lucky that you can share that with me because I grew up in a time, and before me, it was even more so, that children weren't allowed to share when they didn't like what an adult said. And she couldn't really comprehend that because that hasn't been her life.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's such an amazing shift.
It is.
Of recognizing.
It is. But there are times where I'm like, I still get to be the adult in this,
mm-hmm.
right? So at the end of the day,
you're going to say, oh, you didn't like that? Okay. Do whatever
let me
you
change.
Want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Like there are times when her and I have definitely come to blows and then I'm just like, at the end of the day, I still get to be the adult here.
Yeah.
So
I am the adult here, right?
This is it.
Yeah.
This is my decision.
Yeah. This is my decision and you don't have to like it.
Yeah. You don't have to like
change.
It. You know, a really good friend said to me once, he said, there's a way that you can do this wrong, parenting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way that you can do this wrong, but you're never going to do it right. Right?
Oh, it's, yes.
Just, you We're know, and I had to, things. Yeah. And especially when they started school and all those things, like, I'm just like, okay, I'm not the Pinterest mom.
Yeah.
I am the, let's go to Save-On mom and replate everything. So here, like, this is
Perfect.
just, I am not that person.
I forgot it was.
Whoops.
Halloween bring a party item today thing. That's me.
One time my son had to call me and he's just like, my youngest, this was, of course, this is a new school. So the teacher doesn't know me. Super great. She's like, he goes, so you sent me to school with an empty lunch kit. I'm like, oh, good. That's great. I'll bring you McDonald's. He's like, oh, can you forget tomorrow too? Whoops. So that's me.
That happens to everyone. And I think, we have to just be a little more gentle with everyone and
totally
and ourselves.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I did that exact same thing, except I knew she didn't have a lunch and I was my day off. So I planned to bring it for her lunchtime and then I got busy
and forgot.
So I kind of forgot. And then I brought her McDonald's. Like I was there on time, but, and then it was like her best day ever. She's like, everyone wanted my McDonald's. So like, had McDonald's at school. I think that reminds me of a mom that said, her grown daughter talked about the times that they ate dinner in front of the TV and how she like loved it.
Yeah.
And the mom, she's like, we used to sit in on a blanket and we'd watch TV and eat dinner. And her mom's like, those were the nights that I failed.
Right.
Those were the nights that
I
was so done
totally
that I couldn't make dinner. I just drove through and we ate it in front of the TV because I couldn't even talk to you.
Yeah.
Her kids, like, that's totally not their memory.
No.
That's not my daughter's memory. It's not. I'm less worthy because I didn't make her lunch that morning. Like, that's how I'm feeling.
Yes.
I feel like, right. Ugh. Yeah. I'm a crap mom. Totally. I forgot to make your lunch. Totally. She's feeling like, yeah. I got McDonald's.
Yeah. Exactly. So exactly.
I think recognizing that helps us work through.
Yeah.
Work through that. I'm not enough feelings.
Yes. Yeah. I know. We go through that so much as moms, right? Like, I'm not enough this. I'm not enough of a wife. I'm not enough of a mother. And yeah, it's just letting go of the guilt and the shame behind it.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also like how you said you have to just stop and reset, like when you just need a moment.
Yeah.
I felt that in our practice today when you said, let this pose be restful. Mm. And I think sometimes we're always holding on to everything.
Totally.
And then we can't, it's really difficult to rest amongst the busy. And I feel like that's what we all need to learn to do.
Yeah.
Is kind of let go of it.
Yeah.
Still do what you need to do.
Yeah.
But be restful.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was really interesting. There was a book I read before I had my first daughter, and it talked about like you're in labor, right? That's all your muscles.
Yes.
And it talked about resting in between the contractions and like resting the muscles you're not using at the moment. Mm-hmm. So like if you're in a contraction, your arms don't need to be working.
No.
So like rest them to save your energy.
Yeah.
And I always go back to that because I think we can do that amongst our busy days too.
Right.
Right. Yes. If I don't need to be, I mean, worrying is never helpful.
No.
But if our mind doesn't need to be thinking about something, what if we just stop it?
Yeah. That's
if
true.
Our body doesn't need to be moving, what if we just sit still?
Yeah.
You know? And
totally.
That was a big shift for me.
Yeah, in cool. terms of,
I don't
That's
know.
That's very cool.
Finding, reserving energy, I guess.
For sure.
Yeah. Totally.
My classes I tend to, like, especially in a restorative style class, like I will definitely try to get people into a pose, especially at that, and then just get out of the way. Because that's on you, right? Like, this is, we're like, what are you needing in this moment? Some people need to write their grocery list and forget the strawberries and the milk and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, I got that. Now I can relax. And other times, you know, it's just like, okay, I'm already here. I don't want to hear you talk. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
so sometimes. And sometimes I will do like a full thing to guide you through,
like
especially if it's
super.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that's, you know, I've taken that into my parenting as well. Like, sometimes I will guide you through this, and sometimes you need to figure this out on your own.
Mm, I love that. Right? I feel like that's a good thing to remember for the teenage years.
Yes.
Sometimes you need to be there, and sometimes they have to just
totally
work through it on their
sometimes
own.
Sometimes they have to figure it out.
Yeah. My daughter just, her and a boy at school had a little kerfuffle. There was a little shark binder, and it was his. No, it's hers. And then it was, whose it is. And my mom said to me, I'll just buy her a new one. Like, it costs $2.
Yes.
And I, like, yeah, that would solve the problem. But then the 2 days I've been talking to her about this stupid shark binder are pointless.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I've been trying to help her work through it. And then if I just buy her a new shark binder, then all that work, then she's learned nothing. This all this effort was for nothing. You know, all her upset.
It is the principle of the thing. Just
kind of.
Yeah.
And maybe my mom's just sick of hearing about it too. She just wants it to end too. Possibly. I'm sure the teacher would appreciate it as well. But that's not life, right?
No,
if I lose my phone, I don't just get to go buy a new one.
Right.
Maybe I do.
Maybe.
But I mean, that comes with a cost,
yes.
you know? So
yes.
The shark binders are $2 now.
Yeah.
But later on, the cost is more. And later on, she's not going to know how to work through that if we just kind of fix it for them.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of times when we can fix it.
Yes.
But we probably shouldn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really hard one, I think.
It is a really hard one.
Yeah.
And the one part is with the teenagers in particular is that no one ever I read What to Expect When You're Expecting. I read all these things.
We all read that one.
Yeah.
It's after that book.
It's after that
the
book.
Reading really takes a nosedive.
It's true. Now I'm reading other things and I'm just like, anyway. But it's just, I didn't realize how much of my heart was going to be involved.
Yeah.
You know, that like, I just feel sadness when the kids feel sadness. Like I feel all the things that they're feeling. Like I just, and it's, you know, I was reading this one article and it was, you know, there's helicopter parenting when you're just like the crudes, you know, and then there's lawnmower parenting. Have you heard this?
No, I haven't heard of this one.
It's where it's like, you're just, or snowblower parenting or whatever it is. It was like where you're paving the way for these kids. Mm. And I mean,
like
taking everything out of the way so that they don't struggle. Mm. Like, oh, hey, I forgot my homework. Okay, let me just bring that for you. Oh, right. My contact lens fell out. Let me bring you a new one. And just like, I mean, those are so simple and you know, right. But still, but like you're coming to save the day. Lunch, I will give them, but yeah. I don't want you to start. But, you know, there's certain things where, you know, I recognize that I've been holding their hand through all this stuff. Mm. As an example, I had to take my daughter to the doctor. And so the doctor looks at her and says, "What's wrong?" And she looks at me and I'm like, "Well, you tell him what's wrong."
All the time.
No, but mine's 16.
Yeah, but I don't see her stopping doing that. So it's
going to
be the same.
Right. And yes. I'm just like, so I just, you know, I've been doing all this stuff where I'm like paving the way. Like I'm just, so like there's
it
just.
It comes from love though.
It comes from love.
From a place of love to do that.
But
it
also
someone,
comes from a place of, I know struggle. I was a latchkey mm-hmm. kid at 7. I was making dinners for everybody else. I give them everything that I felt like I was lacking as a child. So then I've been paving the way.
Yeah.
And same thing with my husband. He's one of four boys. Mm-hmm. And you know, like you just
that's my nightmare.
His poor mother.
Yes.
And he was a kid that was very solitary. He still is. He's just like a little solitary person, but mm-hmm. he is in the same place where he's like, okay, let's set all this up and then give mm-hmm. like we feel like we're giving them the tools for success,
right.
But at the end of the day, we're just paving the way and, you know, so
not
even
letting
like
them struggle.
Exactly.
That
and
was
I
like
think
a
there's...
quote, I forget the TV show now, but it said, "I've been working so hard to give you all the things I didn't have mm-hmm. that I forgot to give you the things that I had, which are struggle,
yeah.
pain,
yes.
working through emotions,
yes.
Being by yourself.
Totally.
Even being scared, being
even
afraid
being scared.
Sometimes in a
yes.
safe way.
Totally.
I mean, yeah, sheltering too much.
So then I had to really shift mm-hmm. that and think, you know what? My sole responsibility is to give these kids a soft place to land.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That.
So whether they struggle and whatever they're doing, okay, like let's work through that. But let me just mm-hmm. give you that soft place that you
yeah.
know that you'll always be able to come back to.
Yeah.
Right?
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a – Gordon Neufeld is a – parenting, he's written a book about parenting, let's mm. say, with Gabor Mate, and
mm.
he says that home used to be a place you could come to like that, like a soft
yeah.
place to land,
yeah.
and there was someone there, and you would talk to them, and they would be there for you, not, you know, necessarily physically, but always mentally and emotionally there for you. Like
yeah.
home was a place you could just be yourself and just kind of break down, and he talks about how we've lost that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
like the playfulness,
yes.
the calmness and the
yeah.
the home being a place to just like blah
yeah,
kind of just
totally,
let it all go
totally
and
totally.
And it's for I mean a million reasons but just to get back to that while doing all the things we still need to do
yes
like there's no magic button or
there's no magic button
way to make that happen we
totally.
Just kind of if that's our intention I think we get there
yes.
and I think they feel that too.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be a place where, so
yes,
I think what I want to do is more, you can tell me anything
mm-hmm.
and then I'll be there. And, you know, even
yeah.
if I don't, you know, even if I'm scared for you, even
for
if
sure.
it's terrible,
even if, yeah,
we'll
but
work
you,
through it
exactly.
together. And,
totally.
And they sent that message too, but I don't know why. Pregnancy yeah. in particular hit me a certain way.
Yeah, for sure.
But
yeah, like it was for me, my parents, like we're immigrants.
Yeah.
So I moved here when I was moved to Canada when I was 5 out of the Philippines when I was like a year and a half and haven't been back but yeah so like it's just like their take on parenting was complete like you know you had kids so that you could work that you could so that they could work so yeah we're immigrants we moved from the Philippines and then to Africa and then to here so I was 5 years old when we moved actually we lived in Zambia
yeah,
which is south of the equator, and then we moved to Flin Flon, Manitoba.
Oh, is that
far far north of the equator?
Oh my goodness,
it was cold.
That is
we
rough.
Lasted 8 months.
Wow,
yeah, that was, and then we moved. So we're in Manitoba, and my dad's like, okay, it's either Toronto or Vancouver. This
mm-hmm.
is where the opportunities are.
Yes,
I'm tired of the snow. Let's go this way. So,
nice.
But my dad has like he has an engineering degree, and he came here and. It's funny, I'm the age now, he was an older parent, which is very mm-hmm. unusual for that time and
yeah.
particularly for, you know, the Filipino family, but he was 41 when we moved here.
Wow.
And so I'm like, I could not imagine starting a whole new life, but he came here
yeah.
and you know, to give us a better opportunity. That's what it came from. Mm-hmm. And like, he delivered the Globe and Mail. He has an engineering degree, and he delivered the Globe and Mail for 2 years. That's what he did.
I feel like that's the experience of so many immigrants.
Yes. So he's just like, and he fought through it. And so then I saw his struggle, mm-hmm. and we struggled and struggled and struggled. And then we came to a place where we're like, okay, things are going okay. Mm-hmm. And now I can go to university. And then it's just like,
yeah.
Go. But that was like the thing. Like, it was just like, they were super strict and they were mm-hmm. super helicoptery and they were super, you know,
right.
There was a lot of things that I wasn't. And then I couldn't come to them for a lot right. of stuff. Like,
a
I
lot
just
of expectation did you feel
huge
like?
Expectation.
Yeah.
I got grounded if I got a B wow. in on my report card, and yeah. it was just like
I
was allowed
from the Philippines, and she got a math test, and she had everyone right except for one.
Oh.
And she showed her dad, and she was all happy. She showed me, and I was like, "Wow, that's great! Math
yeah.
is really a strength for you." Blah blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
And then she showed her dad, and he said, "Well, why'd you get that one wrong?"
Exactly. Like, they
is that your experience?
Yes.
I was like, "Oh no!"
I know. It's a focus on the negative.
Yeah.
And it's all like, it's mm-hmm. always that way. And so it's funny because I just like, I don't, my children, my son, my children all get woken. If they wake up before me, then they're up. But I wake them up with hugs and kisses. And I'm very like affectionate
yeah.
and very
yeah.
just demonstrative of that affection. And my parents are just like, not at all. And
right.
so many times,
again,
like, even,
giving them what you
I know,
like,
giving them like,
yeah.
just like to these nth degree. So yeah.
yeah,
no, it's funny that way.
Mm-hmm. That's been my, you said, like, your yoga practice that you used in mine, part of yoga practice that I transferred to parenting is the non-attachment.
Mm.
Because I didn't know it, but when I had Audrey, my firstborn, I did put a lot of expectation on her.
Sure.
Unknowingly, though, like unconsciously.
Yeah, totally.
And then it kind of bubbled up when she wasn't meeting those expectations.
Yeah.
But then... that's not how I want her to feel,
no.
right? So I had to let go of a lot of
totally.
Stuff.
To totally.
Sort of just accept her and just kind of lead her, like you said,
yeah.
instead of trying to, you know, have all these expectations
yeah.
that maybe your parents did. And
sure.
make you need to be this kind
yeah,
of a feel.
Totally.
And if you're not that,
mm-hmm.
like if you're not an exceptional student, but that's the expectation, that's a big space of I'm not enough.
Oh yeah.
What a
yeah.
huge gap.
Totally.
If you can rise to meet it, then it's not a problem.
Yes.
Right.
Great.
They have an expectation
you.
And you're meeting it. So
mm-hmm.
you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if the child isn't what you expected,
yeah.
that's where the disconnect is.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
yeah, that was an interesting one. And I wanted to read you a quote. It's a Mexican blessing. It says, "I release my children from the need to bring pride to me, that they may write their own ways according to their hearts that whisper all the time in their ears." And I just thought that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That
I love that.
We kind of just have to lead them to be whom they're going to become.
Yes.
Kind of just
totally.
And not have these preconceived notions
yeah.
of what they'll turn into.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah. And then the left turns don't come as that much of a surprise, or, you know, we kind of float with the change a little better.
Yeah.
I think if we weren't thinking, but I thought you were going to be a girly girl and you're a tomboy.
Totally.
It's just kind of like, oh, you're a tomboy.
Yeah.
It's not
it just
as
is, yeah.
rough.
It's not as rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I get that.
I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you about balance. So running a
mm.
business and being a mother and what you've learned along the way, kind of, because I feel like running a business is different than having a job, and maybe it's not, I don't know. I've never run a business,
mm-hmm.
but when it's yours and you're building it up, you
mm-hmm.
know, that it kind of, maybe there's more there than just, there's a lot of jobs you can just go
yeah.
put in your 9 hours and leave.
And then leave. Yeah.
I don't have one of them.
Yeah.
I
understand.
I'm a teacher,
yes.
But there are a lot of jobs like that. So then
yeah.
it's easy to kind of separate.
Totally.
Home life, work life.
Yeah.
But when it's your business,
yeah.
people are calling you,
yeah.
you know, at weird hours.
Yeah, totally.
Do you set boundaries? Like, I turn my phone off at this time, or
not really.
Are you more, you know,
well, and
sometimes.
It just like, there is a lot of pride in what I've built.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and so, you know, I lead life with integrity, and it is definitely like another baby. So I want to make sure that everything is being fulfilled in that same way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain times that I just can't turn it off,
right.
but I also don't mind. Like
okay.
that is a definite,
okay.
like there's,
yeah.
you know, I want to know when something's happening. I want
right.
to know if something's gone wrong. I want to know, you know, and then there's other times I'm like, oh, I just really need to hire somebody to take this part over. You
mm-hmm.
know, like there's
so you just recognize
oh, yeah.
it's time
yeah.
to let something go.
Yeah, for a few years. So we've been open, it'll be 8 years. We're in our 8th year now. So 8 years in October. And I've run 4 teacher trainings, like yoga teacher trainings that I've either facilitated or co-facilitated out of this space.
Yeah.
And for a while, I was teaching probably 15 public classes a week. So 15 of those.
Wow.
Plus, I also work with quite a few high schools, like their sport academies and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And then privates and all that stuff. So I was already like stretched to the limit. And then the weeks that I would run a teacher training, that's another 20 to 25 hours a week over and above what I was already doing.
Wow. I was going to say teacher training is 200 hours for people
200
that don't know.
Hours. So, yeah. Yeah. So when I run it as a part-time program and then, and so yeah, so the last one that I did, it always, like I always run it in the fall. Mm-hmm. And the last one I did ended around Christmas. And it was just like, I don't even remember Christmas. And we're mm-hmm. Christmas crazy people. But it was just like, I was so stretched thin. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I look back and I'm like, my last day off, it was January. Like I always teach a class on January 1st. Mm-hmm. We're always closed on Christmas Day. But other than that, we're kind of open.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking back, I'm like, my last legitimate day off was August 3rd. Wow. And so I worked from straight from August 4th to Christmas Day, you know, and it's just like lots. And so then it, you know, I'm lucky that I love what I do, but mm-hmm. there are times when I recognize when it's too much.
Right.
And so I'm so lucky to have cavalry, especially when it comes to my kids and, you know, like my parents have come out and helped. I've got really great friends in my life that'll be like, what do you need? And sometimes I'm like, you know what? It's just easier for me to just go do the things instead of giving you the things to do.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. Sometimes. But I just, so I can say like, how do you balance this homework life? Mm-hmm. I do it, but I don't know that I do it well,
okay.
But it is helpful having like my daughter works here, right? So she works here 3 days a week. It is nice having my kids a little bit older.
Right.
So they were, what did I say? They were like 9, 6, and 1.5
mm-hmm.
when we opened.
Wow.
And so I was working a lot. I remember having a playpen. Like we expanded. We only had one space mm-hmm. beforehand until 2015. Right. And then we took over the second space.
Yes.
And, but I had a playpen in the bathroom and my son would sleep in it while the kids were in school.
Yeah.
But then amazing. I've been really deliberate about the hours. Like we're open from 9 to 2 right. and then 4 to 8 sort mm-hmm. of thing. So I'm mm-hmm. like, there's this 2 hour space in between that I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get my kids.
Yeah,
we're going to do all the things. And so we've been really deliberate about that and people have come to accept it. And that just is what it is. Right.
I think people do come to accept it. It's funny that you say that. Someone asked me, like why I have Mondays and Fridays off. And I said, well, that's when my daycare's only open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, she takes a month off in the summer. She takes off spring break.
Totally.
And they're like, how does she do that? I'm like, that's what she does. And she's amazing.
Amazing.
So
yeah.
You take her leave it.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you can't
here's
make
my hours.
here's what I'll do for you.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, that's fine.
Yeah.
You're not for me then. Kind
exactly.
of thing. And
exactly.
Like, oh, that's amazing. And we can do that in every area of our lives.
Absolutely.
Right? So I used to coach Audrey's and softball, and I used to coach the last like 3 or 4 years I coached. And this year I said, I'll be the assistant. Like I'll be there every time I'm on the field.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be the one, you know, planning and, you know, having to be there when my son's sick and having to drag him to the field. And
totally.
It broke my heart at like 16, 18 months old or something. We drove by the ball field because it's right by our house. And he went, no bait ball, no bait ball. He didn't want to go.
He didn't.
I was like, oh,
buddy, not today.
It was so bad.
I know.
You know, like he was like, it's too much for me.
Yeah, it's too much. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
But he's older now, so he can run around and it'll be fine. But I just thought, I just need to take one step. And
totally.
But it's hard for people to accept that because when you've said yes, 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 and I was like the learn to play coordinator and the coach, and then people quit. So I was coaching their teams too.
Yes. Yes,
I said yes to everything.
Yeah, totally.
And I've slowly been like, no, I'll coach one team.
Yeah, for
sure. I don't want to be the coordinator.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, just one more step. I'll assistant coach.
Yeah.
So find a coach.
For sure.
Whenever they can't be there, I'll step in.
Yeah.
You know, I'll mentor them
totally.
If they haven't coached before. But I'm not doing it this year. But they keep asking.
I know. And that's what it's like because they know who the people are that are going to volunteer. And it just... So, but same thing, my husband and I are like the same thing. So he runs Abbotsford baseball, but then we always open up registration in January. Mm-hmm. Once you're registered, you get to come to these things for like these development, you know, nights for free.
Right.
Once you're registered, these are free.
Wow.
They're run for something like 8 or 9 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he will do them because no one else will. Mm. And I'm just like, okay, so not only is he having to commute, you know, yeah. So it's like he works in Burnaby. So like there's a commute that at least an hour and a half, mm-hmm. and he gets home and wolves something down. And then he's gone right away teaching other people's kids. Wow. Right. And it's just like, and this is a volunteer thing. He gets paid not one red cent for any of this. Yeah. I guess pennies are out now. One silver red nickel. Nickel? Yeah. Right. So it's just a little, sometimes it's a little bit disheartening that there's always this expectation from other people. That it's like, oh, well, you said it was going to run another week. We chose not to run it one more week because right. we're tired.
Yeah.
We don't want to do anymore.
I found, so there was also a class that my son took at my daughter's school. So it's for, it's called Little Readers, and it's for the younger siblings.
Yeah.
So we read with Audrey, then we go to this. It's like yeah. Not even an hour, it's 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And the teacher couldn't do it anymore. She got a full time job, so she couldn't do it. And then so the coordinator came to me and said, like, can you just do it? You just set this up, blah, blah, blah. And every part of my being, like I felt it in my core,
yes.
wanted to say yes, wanted to be the person to save her from, you know, needing someone. And it was so hard. And I had to say twice to her, like, okay, I'll think about it. I couldn't even say no right away.
You couldn't say no.
Yeah. And then I went home and then I just said, I just had to be really brutally honest. I just said, listen, I made a promise to myself this year that I wasn't going to take anything else on.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking to that promise.
Yeah.
And she was so, people are unbelievable when you just share totally. Kind of the reason or just say no in a way that's loving.
Yeah. And they can recognize it because then they can often recognize it in themselves. Like, yeah, you know what? Good for you.
She did. She kind of like teared up.
Yeah.
Like, I should have done that when I had kids. That's what I felt like because she's older. Yeah. And I thought like, okay, I can do this. And then that gave me the strength to say no to baseball again and again and again.
Yes, totally.
And then I think so the more you say no, the more you set those boundaries, the easier it gets. But
totally.
It's not easy. Yeah, no, it's hard.
Because the thing too is that you recognize when your priorities shift, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, when we first got married, my priority was allowing my career to take off because this career path didn't work out. So let's do the best I can in this career. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm having babies. Okay. So now the priority is keeping this one alive, figuring out how to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not sleeping. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
And then, you know, and it's like, okay, I'm going to work part-time. You let your career take off,
mm-hmm.
right? Or mm-hmm. do whatever you need to do. And then, you know, then we'll have more babies and then we'll do this. Yeah. And it, like, it's just this constant evolution of who we are.
Right.
And not losing yourself. Like, you know, I spent my 30s really being there for my children and being really involved in school and making sure that they'd had healthy snacks and, you know, like just, you know, all the things. And even now I've already thought about what they're going to eat on Monday, you know, like it's just like,
it's like this constant,
totally. It's this constant, like moving forward, but it's also this constant evolution and recognizing that, okay, like, okay, now when I turned, not so much when I turned 40. When I turned 40, I was like, okay, I'm 40. This is like the next phase of my life, but there's still so much going on. When I turned 41, I was like, okay, I'm in my 40s. I'm taking
it. 30 was easy for me. 31 was, I was not happy about 31. And everyone was like, what is your problem? You already turned 30. I was like, 30 was good.
30 was great.
31, I know. Like,
I know. 40 was a party.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm 40. I made it. 40 is the new 30, whatever.
Yeah.
But now I'm like 41. I'm in it.
Yeah.
There's no turning back now.
Going now.
Yeah. Know.
That's funny. I was totally the same. Sorry.
That's okay. It's totally good. So like that was like, okay, here it is. Yeah. We're in it. And then I just really started letting go of certain things. I'm like, okay, this is not a priority for me anymore. Yeah. So now let's shift this to here.
It's just recognizing. And it's then, you know what happened in the Little Readers? Someone else stepped up.
Someone else will figure it
who
out.
Who had the space to do it.
Yes.
Who wanted to. And, you know, and so that was a big shift for me too, because especially in teaching, there's a lot of like, no one could do this job as well as I can.
Right.
And I mean, that's my own stuff. But you feel like if you left, oh, they'd have a different substitute every day. And maybe, but that's not my fault. That's not my problem.
No.
If I need to have a day off, I have to take a day off. If I need to, you know, you can't kind of take that on, kind of like what you were telling your son.
Yeah.
Is that you or is that someone else? That was someone else, right?
Yeah,
and it's not my fault if no one else steps up for Little Readers. Yeah. Well, it'll be over for April and May and June.
Yes, for sure. It'll come back.
It's too bad. It's not same thing.
Yeah.
Like it's not mine.
No,
it's not mine to take on. I just need to go. Do I want to do this?
No.
No.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And just move forward from there. Kind of. Yeah.
Taking a step back and looking at it from like,
taking a step back and going, is this for me?
Yeah.
Yes or no? Instead of that, going with that feeling of, I really want to say yes.
Yeah, kind of. Sure.
I really want to be the one to save you right now.
Yeah. Yes.
But
right. We don't always need to be fixers.
No, I know. Oh, you hit the nail on the head. How did you figure me out so fast? Okay. I'm going to ask you my favorite question.
Okay.
Which is one thing you never thought you would say as a parent. And I'll give you mine so that you have time to think. One that I shared on a previous episode happened at Kat's house, who we both know.
Yes.
She has a brunch for our friends once a month and it's amazing. And I turned around and said, don't put your penis on my leg. Kaden had his pants down. And I was like, oh my goodness.
What just happened?
Never thought I'd say that. As a parent, because, oh my goodness, there's a million other ones.
Yeah. I never thought I would. Oh, there's a million of them.
Yeah.
There's one time when I was just like, I was so angry with my child. And I'm just like, I don't know how to react to this. And he like turned around and I just like flipped him the bird. Like, and he's like, what, mommy? I'm like, I love you.
That's so
funny. But like, I turn into Chandler Bing a little bit when I'm just like, when I look at them, I'm like, are you really going to do that? Is this really happening right now? Is this actually? So probably one of my favorite ones is a snorkel really necessary to wear when you're on the toilet?
Oh my God.
What are you doing? There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of what are you doing?
There's can you not lick the car?
Yeah. Stop licking stuff. Our children listening to this, stop.
Don't lick the things. Maybe it's building your immune system. I don't know, but that's weird. No, stop that.
It's so weird and gross.
It's so weird and gross. I had to like, this is was not that long ago. Did you wash your pits and your privates? This is not that long ago. And then he says to me and he goes, if I'm the only one seeing them, then why is it necessary to wash them every time? I'm like, just clean your body. Stop it. This is really embarrassing.
That's so funny. I call those the smelly parts. Did you wash the smelly parts?
Did you wash the smelly parts?
And it's like, that's why you have to wash the smelly.
Kids are weird. Boys are weirder.
True. True.
Not that we're stereotyping, but it is what it is.
No, but honestly, mostly is. That's awesome. Thank you so much. I know there's a kids yoga at Parallel.
There is,
You would be able to talk about that. When is it?
So we run the program on Thursdays between 3:30, I think 3:45 to 4:30, something like that. It's on the website.
It's on the website, yeah. Sorry.
And so we run it. It's good. And so we run it as a series. So right now we're towards the end of our four-week series, and then there'll be another one. We have a special like kids teacher. I ran it for a little while when my kids were of the age, and then when my kids aged out, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, nice.
And I would run art camps and that sort of thing. And my daughter did one actually last year where she would teach dance.
Oh, nice.
To the little ones. And then we would have yoga and I would come in and help them breathe and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Most of my work is actually now, and it's just funny that it's just followed the path of my children,
mm-hmm.
but most of the work that I do with youth is teens. But particularly right now, for whatever reason, high performance athletes. And I think there's like a lot of pressure on these kids to do really well. And so then I give them that 1 hour where there's just no pressure on them. That is just like, you're safe to be who you need to be right now. And
you do yoga with them too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. So technically what do they call me? They call me the mobility and recovery specialist for the Yale Baseball Academy. Nice. And I work with Langley and then I work with UFV, the UFV baseball team. Oh. So I'm just kind of all over.
Yeah.
I travel kind of everywhere for that. So I work a lot with more the youth in that regard. I have a special like yoga for youth. It's called Vinyasa Yoga for Youth training that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like a sport specific, like I do a lot of sport specific stuff. So I'm a sport conditioning coach on top of having like a little bit of a kinesiology background. So it's like, there's a lot of stuff that I'm just taking all these things and bringing them to that.
Making
but I think
it's something
just,
new, I feel like.
That's a little really bit. Amazing. Yeah, which is really cool. So I'm kind of like phasing out a little bit of the little kids, yes, yeah. but giving others the opportunity. Yeah. Like there's so many trainings and so many things out there that, so I've got this one girl who's really lovely and then she's come in and taught the little kids. Great. So yeah, it's really,
the studio still offers it.
It's still here and it's awesome. Really lovely. And the kids love it. The ones that come, and there's a lot of yelling. It's not quiet by any means. It's just, it's a play based program
right.
for kids between the ages of 5 and 10, basically. Mm-hmm. So like school aged kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So typically the kids are between 5 and 7, most of them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans to bring that youth-based program to the studio? Or do you like travel to do that?
I travel to do that. It's just really more for me, like a lot of the kids that come will just come to my regular class.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of them will feel connected that they'll just come to class. Nice. So I have 5 or 6 kids that go to other schools that come here on Saturdays. Wow. I did have a program that I was running for a little while. Again, I had to say no to something, right? So mm-hmm. because I work with so many teams that I had to take a step back. But we also do a little bit of work with some of the youth organizations out there. So not me personally, but again, it's someone that's graduated from my program that works with the Foundry, if you've ever heard of the Foundry. Yeah. So we bring that program out into the community. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of opportunity. Yeah. And then we're also part of the local high school here, Robert Bateman, is mm-hmm. that they have a wellness week. Mm-hmm. So then we come in and we'll teach, they have a lot of business come in and offer, different services, but this is our third year now, I think, or fourth year, maybe I'm coming into the school and teaching yoga. So myself and we have 60 kids that come and are so part great. Of it. Yeah.
I'm so glad that's in high schools. I'm not there yet. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Cause I'm a teacher. People always ask me what's in middle school? Do they do this? And
I don't know.
I don't know anything about middle school, high school. I have no idea what's going on there.
I have no idea what's going on there.
But in elementary school, for example, mindfulness, there's a big push for, I have training in it. Everyone at the school my daughter's at and that I teach at has training in it, and we've committed to doing one mindful activity a day in every classroom.
Yes, so great.
I think it's just so amazing that this generation gets to grow up with that opportunity,
I totally agree.
Practice those things.
I totally agree. And great. I think just even mindful in your body, really just understanding, and that's where my focus is just understanding your body's place, proprioception, your body's place in space.
Yeah.
And, it's helpful for preventing injury.
Right.
Just because you're I'm understanding that my body is growing and doing all these things.
We call that in child development, it's kinesthetic sense. It's another sense. And the way you develop that is free play outside.
Yes.
So what have children lost with the programming and the phones and the video games?
Totally.
They've lost free play outside.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't want to say unsupervised because I feel like I'll get emails, but it's where an adult isn't directly there watching all the time so that they can do something that might be that they're a little bit nervous of. For example, a neighbor was, they had a plank and it was a, what do you call it? Teeter totter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was actually a ramp for a bike.
Okay.
So they had built it, but she said they were playing with it for hours.
Yes.
So doing something it's a safe place. They're in her yard on the grass,
totally.
But it's a homemade teeter totter and they were putting different kids on it and jumping off of it. So doing things that are you're a little bit nervous to do, but then you find out, oh, my body can do that, or oh, my body can't do that.
Totally.
Or that didn't feel good. And just, knowing where you are in space and I feel like
moving freely.
We need to put it in schools, and we need to put our kids in these yoga classes because they're kind of losing that uninterrupted, a little bit dangerous free play that we had as kids.
Totally.
My mom was go outside and lock the screen, and she locked the screen door so she could get her whatever stuff in the house done that she was doing. And we were bothering her.
Yeah, totally.
And I can't imagine locking the door on Audrey, she'd freak out. But, it's just interesting that they need that, and that now we're seeing they don't have
less
it.
Of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much, Cara.
Yeah, thank you
for
yay.
It's really interesting.
Good. Yay. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying Playful Joy, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, and tell a friend. You can email playfuljoypodcast@gmail.com if you have a funny anecdote or an issue or struggle that you're having. I'd love to hear about it. Also, please follow us on Instagram @playfuljoypodcast. Thanks for listening.